And welcome to another edition of Mind, Body and Chow, where we seek to bring the best out of you in terms of mental health and physical health and all things food related as well. And it's this time of the afternoon that we are joined by Ronald Avergy. He joins us on the line right now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my brother. How are you keeping?
Hey, alhamdulillah, I'm doing so good and I'm hoping you're doing the same.
I'm good. How was soccer last night? Did you pull any muscles, injure yourself, or play rugby as you normally do?
No, you know what, Shukar? Just, you see, I have a very dodgy knee, right? One of them, which acts up every now and then. So it just gets a little bit sore, but it takes a few days, and then it recovers, alhamdulillah, and that's how the cycle goes. You go from week to week recovering just in time for the game. You play, then it's a bit sore. Then after the game, you know, the cycle continues.
Ay, 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 that's all I can say. It clearly means they have to do a show on knees and how to look after them.
Yes, please. But for today, it looks like we're focusing on the workout as well, running and walking. So, Ronald, what do you want us to do today?
Well, today I want to talk through, essentially, you know, running and walking. Is that, how do you enhance it for you? Because you all know that, yes, you could put on your sneakers, you could put on your walking or running shoes, and you hit the road or you hit the treadmill, if you have one in your house. And if you can't run, you start walking, and once you get used to walking, many people start jogging or running. But the question is this, is that, how do you enhance that run? And that is what today's workout is all about. And this is what I want to talk through. So I'd like our listeners to take notes today, because this is what they got to note down and actually try in their running workout or walking workout that they could do when it's a bit cooler during the day. So when you start walking, many people have asked me, even you've asked me, Ronald, when do we stretch whenever we do a workout?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is, I would always advise anyone doing any workout, especially running and walking, is to warm the body up first. So what you do is start walking or a light jog on the spot, do some skips with a skipping rope, or just really, you know, do a small speed walk for about a minute or so. Really get the blood flowing, prepare the body for the workout ahead, and then do some stretches. And then you can go into your run or your walk. Now let's look at walking and running. I want you now to focus on increasing your intensity in that run. So let's assume we all have a normal or a standard pace with walking or running. So you walk normally, the arms are moving, and you know, you have your gait, your pace, and you've got your rhythm. But that only takes you so far. You now need to bring in high intensity exercises. So, you know, South Africa is wonderful with all our electricity when we do have it, but we have the infrastructure of light poles. So if you're walking outside, gauge light pole to light pole and begin to conceptualize a standard intensity pace, which is what you're doing normally, versus a medium intensity pace versus a high intensity pace. And with each lamp pole, you're going to go normal pace or standard pace. Then you're going to speed up your jog or your run to the next lamp pole at a medium pace, and then you're going to increase it to the next one at the highest intensity pace that you then have. And you then continue walking or running for the next 5 minutes, and you do that cycle over and over again. What that does is it increases your metabolism, allows you to get a lot more benefits than just health benefits from it. But once you've done that, this is where I want to show people what to do and tell them what to do.
Right.
You finish your workout, you finish your walk or your run. What 99% of the people do, especially those that play soccer, they go and they have water, they relax, they put on their track suits, and off they go and have something to eat or go and sit down and relax and carry on with a normal day. They forget to stretch. Now, with running or walking, you need to stretch the following muscles, and this is what people can now try. Wherever they are, they need to stretch. Number one are the hamstrings. The hamstrings take a lot of back battering when doing running or walking. So all they do is they stand facing a chair or couch, feet shoulder width apart, and they put the one foot up on the couch. But still ensure that your hips are square. So you're not leaning forward. So if your right foot goes on the couch, your right hip's not leaning forward. You keep your right hip in line with the left one, but your foot's on the couch. You then pull your toes back and you lean forward with the opposite hand. That is going to pull phenomenally on your hamstrings, on your calf muscle.
I'm doing it now and it is, eh?
It is pulling. The reason it pulls is because there's four muscles associated with a hamstring, and many people forget this. So they lean with the same hand and the same leg forward and think they can touch their knees, but they're not stretching the entire hamstring. Now, these stretches that they judge, we have to hold it for 30 to 40 seconds.
Hmm.
The reason is this is it enhances the stretch further, allows the body to relax further into it, and gives you more beneficial results. So you do that 3 or 4 times on each leg. The next stretch you do, okay, is standing upright, holding onto a chest balance. All right, so your left foot is on the ground, left hand on the chair, and I want you to lift your right heel to your buttock. Grab it behind you. Now, you know this normal stretch that people say they're stretching the front of their leg.
Hmm.
But here's the variation I want to bring in. As you're holding your right leg there, I want you now to push your hips forward and pull your knee further back.
Okay.
There you feel a fuller stretch on the entire quadricep. So you don't just hold your heel in your hand. I want you now to pull the knee further back and push that right hip forward. And you feel that quadricep with the front of the thigh pull.
Yeah, it's
right,
much
you
more stronger.
Then.
One, yeah.
You're much more stronger. It works the entire area of that muscle. It even helps you when you play football because those are the muscles that you contract, like Roberto Carlos used to do when he used to kick those thunderbolts.
Yep.
The next stretch is to loosen up the hips and the lower back. And people forget this with running and walking. Remember, running and walking is impact on the knee, ankles, the knees, and the hips. So feet wider than shoulder width, and I want you to slowly circle those hips. And I want you to exaggerate that hip circle. Move your hips as far as you can to the right. Take your hips as far back as you can, keeping your knees straight. Take your hips as far as you can to the left. And then your hips as far forward as you can. And you do those rotations 5 times in the right to the right, and then 5 times to the left. And then the final stretch that we then do is, of course, to loosen the shoulders. Because with running and walking, you know your shoulders are also moving in line with your legs. So all that you then do is stretch your hands up as high as you can. All right? And then from that position, I want you to make a big circle as though you're doing a backstroke in the pool with both hands, and then bring it forward. Stretch it as far forward as you can, up as high as you can, circle the hands back like you're doing a double backstroke, and relax it down. And you do that 5 times backwards and 5 times forwards, and afterwards you will not just feel energized from your run, you will feel lighter and looser from your run, allowing you to go and run or walk the next day, which gives you more benefit because you're not going to be as stiff with lactic acid.
I want to ask you, Ronald, what's worse on the, what is worse impact on the joints? Is it a treadmill run or running on the road?
You know, they both can be bad for your joints if you have the wrong shoes.
Hmm.
Either which way, when you go running or walking, you need to have the right shoes. And the right shoes to offer you the support around your ankle and your Achilles tendon, the back of the heel, but also support on the sole of the foot. Because either which way, whether you run or walk on the treadmill or the road, there's the entire weight impact on one foot and then the other foot. And that impact, especially on the road, because sometimes with certain treadmills, depending on the quality that you purchase, I mean, there's treadmills for 150,000 rand. And if you can afford it, they often have impact hydraulics to them. But the road and the tar can be very, very rough and very hard on the joints. So both can be dangerous, but please make sure when you go walking or running that you find someone that can help you find the right to give you the right support and cushioning when you are doing that.
Ronald, I've just got a question. Your sister is saying that even when I walk for a short while, I get cramps. Please help.
All right, wonderful. Thank you very much for that question. The next question to them would be is, where do you get the cramps? If it's a stitch, okay, you know like those stitches you get in the side?
Yeah.
You go to the side cramps whenever you play sports or you go walking or running.
Hmm.
If it is that, that's an indication that you either are not having enough water and that your body is really becoming dehydrated, so you feel a slight pull in that area, coupled with the fact that you are unfit. So you got to find the balance between it. So my advice to that person would be is gradually continue with the walk. Begin to take more notice of when they do feel that stitch or the cramp while they're walking, if it is that side stitch. If it is not that side stitch, and it's suddenly a pull or a cramp in the legs, then we've got to look at the flexibility thereof, which is why the flexibility routine that I described to you now becomes so important for that listener to try. So if they can give us more information as to where to get the cramp, that'll really help us give them a more honed advice on how to alleviate that for themselves in their walks.
Now, Ronald, a lot of people would, undermine just a walk out, you know, in the open. They'd say, what's a walk going to do? So for a 10-minute walk, how beneficial is that little walk for them?
You know, a 10-minute walk is better than sitting on the couch for 10 minutes. Because you know they've equated that sitting is the new smoking. Sure. The effect of sitting for periods of time has a negative effect on your health to the extent of smoking for that same period. So with that in mind, a walk really is the most fundamental activity we can do, young or old. And a walk really has got its benefits for overall health benefits for someone with heart disease or asthma to really help them, you know, get fit, get stronger, get healthier, manage their diabetes. While for others, running might be best if they want to lose weight. But the benefit of the walk that they just is one that is priceless because it is an activity more so than what you're currently doing. And that for me is priceless.
Okay, we've got one coming through on WhatsApp from our listener out in Dubai. Just a reminder as well that our listeners out there, the number is 2772-786-1548. If you want to send a question from overseas as well, join in the discussion or SMS 48855. This listener in Dubai saying, Salams, please tell me what... I think we've asked this question before, but... Maybe just he wants a reminder. Says, Salams, please tell me what exercises to do for fat arms.
Oh, wow, that's a great question. We have done this before. Mm. For fat arms, you're right, you look at this and you say to yourself, there's a lot of fatty deposits, especially in the back of the arm, known as tricep area. You know, those are what I call that when you greet someone and you say hello, when you stop waving, that arm is still waving. Mm. That's where the fat deposits lie. Now, from that position, it's very difficult to target specific areas on the body to lose fat. But you do an overall cardio workout, follow a very unique carbohydrate-specific and carbohydrate cycling diet, and couple that with strength training. So a couple of strength training exercises are, of course, Brother Jazz, are the tricep dips, where you can sit against the edge of a chair, press your palms with your fingers pointing forward, buttock off the chair, and you bend your arms at 90 degrees. You could also do the French press against the wall, whereby you keep your hands shoulder width apart and you drop your elbows down to the wall and then push away to really begin to activate the tricep muscle. And that coupled with the cardio and the healthy eating, you will definitely begin to burn fat. And you know the beautiful thing about the body?
Mm-hmm.
The body, although you can't specify where you want to burn fat, the body tends to burn fat from your extremities and eventually into your midriff or your core region, because the core is where you have a lot of internal organs and the most important organs. So it's very much of a protective mechanism. So you will see very quick results when it comes to burning the arm fat.
Brilliant stuff, Ronald. Thank you so much for your time again. And yes, lovely talking about running and walking. And yes, you never walk alone with us here on Verbal Fitness Sessions on Mind, Body and Chow. You have, I think another question has just come through,
okay.
But we don't have time. I don't think we have. Okay, let's try. We've got a minute or so. Let's try and get it in.
Right.
It says, yeah, what kind of exercises can ladies who suffer from polycystic ovaries do?
You know, polycystic ovaries is very painful. That's the reality we have to accept. And when we do have time tomorrow, maybe I can unpack that as well.
Okay.
So when you look at the exercises, you need to talk to your gynecologist first. And I know we don't have a lot of time, so I can't unpack this in detail.
Mm.
But talk to your gynae. What's important for that is, of course, your nutrition. And, of course, exercise-wise, find something that's not going to put too much pressure or pain on that area where your ovaries are sitting. So you don't do crunches or those bending of the torso exercises. You rather do the elongation exercises like the yogas, the Pilates, to really show that you keep posture upright, don't put too much pressure on those areas, and when you feel pain, you stop. But with polycystic ovaries, if your gynae says it's okay, then begin to incorporate a variety of strength and cardio exercises into your day. I would love that listener to actually send us an email to give us more details so we can really help, because it's not an easy thing to deal with.
Perfect. We'll get them the details through, inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Ronald. We'll pick it up tomorrow. And, yep, looking forward to the exercises and the discussion that we have. Really learn a lot every single day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We'll be joined, inshallah, in a few seconds' time by Sumaya Kuvadia, life coach. We're discussing teen world. Yes, all things teens, you know. It's one of those mysteries in life, you know, trying to get in the mind of teenagers. We all were there once upon a time, rolling the eyes, etc. You know, dealing with teens. She's going to be helping parents to, you know, deal better with their teenagers and to build a better relationship with their kids. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. We'll be back shortly.
I'm so tired.
Don't be. It's time for Verbal Fitness Sessions on Mind, Body and Chow.
Hello. Is anybody out there?
Interact now. SMS 488-55. WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Or tweet EJAZ at EJAZ underscore K.
Can you hear me calling?
Here we go.
And when life gets hard, you know it can get hard sometimes. You are the only one I'll follow till I die. So I will pray that Allah will keep me on the straight path, holding me close, I'll never stray back.
Yes, a quarter to two and time for another installment on Mind, Body and Chow. Today we're discussing teenagers. A reminder that you can send any questions if any of your teenagers are, you know, you're stuck with something and you need some help in terms of dealing with them. You can do so. It's 488-55. You can SMS us. You can WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Twitter is also an option. You can tweet me at EJAZ underscore K. And of course, the lines are open. If you want to call, the lines are open as well. 011-854-1548. And Life Coach Sumaya Kuvara joins us on the line now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sumaya.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi, Jaz. How are you doing?
Hey, alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, alhamdulillah.
Very excited to do this segment, teenagers, eh? It's really one of those mysteries in terms of parenting. So
yes, I think it is. Yes, it is.
Right. Now, what is the adolescent period about? And maybe you can debunk a few of the myths.
Yes, absolutely, Jaz. Because, you know, firstly, I'd like to just say that parenting an adolescent or a teenager is very different from parenting a child before the age of 13.
Mm.
And I think that is something that, yes, consciously we know it, that it is different, but somehow it just becomes very difficult for us because, you know, when we have these little children, they're sweet, adorable, compliant, obedient, they forgive easily, and then all of a sudden, one day all of that changes. So no longer is your sweet little child, you know, that person, because now they've become what we call, you know, as rebellious teenagers. So what's really happening underneath the surface, you know, I'd like to shed some light on that. Because adolescence is sort of a much perplexing time of life, you know, and it runs between the ages of 12 and 24. Yes, I know people think that it's just the teen years and once 19 is over, you know, I'm over my teens. Yes, you're over your teens, but you're still in the adolescent phase of life. And parents need to know that because I know in one of the shows where we spoke about, you know, how the brain develops.
Yeah.
And only at 24 years of age is, you know, the whole prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is now the logical, intelligent brain. Only then is it fully operational. So now no longer is that teenager or that adolescent, you know, coming up with everything from the emotional brain. Just remember that the teenage years are a time where there's high emotional intensity that's taking place. Right? And some of the myths that go along with this, you know, as adults, we tend to say this often, you know, we hear people saying it, and one of the most powerful and hugely misleading myths surrounding adolescence is that raging hormones cause teenagers to go mad or lose their minds. I mean, how many times have you heard that, John?
Yeah, every time.
You know? And, you know, brain science now shows us that this simply is not true. Yes, hormones do increase during this period, but it is not the hormones that determines what goes on in that adolescent period, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what teens are experiencing is primarily the result of the changes in the brain, right? It's at this period of time where the brain is literally under construction. So when something is under construction, you know there's a lot of things that are not going to be working sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be working. You never know what you're getting yourself into, right? And that's what a teenage brain is basically like, right? And if we do know about these brain changes, you know, as adults and as teenagers that are listening in, but I'm sure a lot of them are in school right now, right? So for parents, it can help life flow a little better for adults and teens, right? There's another myth that goes, you know, where adolescence is a time of immaturity and that teens just need to grow up, You know, we say this all the time to our kids. You're a little kid, or you just act like a kid. You just need to grow up, right? Mm. And we've said this often enough. But being a teen can be confusing and terrifying, as so many things are often new and intense for them, right? Everything that they're experiencing in their life is often new for them, so they don't really know how to navigate their way through that.
Mm.
And for adults, they interpret their teen behavior at times as senseless and just immature. Right? So the idea that we carry around that adolescence is something we all have to endure is very limiting. Or, you know, something that, you know, these teens have to just get over, or, you know, at a certain point in time, you know, maybe when they're 19 or 20, they'll be mature enough. You know, it's just very limiting. So instead, teens don't need to just survive this period. They can thrive because of this important phase of life. And what this means is the behaviors they engage in, you know, like testing of boundaries. Yes, I know a few people will say that, you know, teens are the best humans in knowing how to test your boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that's very true. Mm-hmm. But that's because, again, of the brain changes that are taking place. Then they have this passion to explore things. You know, they're highly adventurous. They take risks like nobody else can. You know, because that, again, is a brain change where, you know, they sort of over-amplify the reward system and they downplay the risk factor, right? Mm-hmm. So everything for them is very, very exciting. But what also can happen if this is now channeled in the correct way, this can set up the stage for the development of core character traits, you know, that will enable them later on in their adult years to just be better people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just one more myth. You know, that I'd like to get into very quickly is where, you know, we believe that, you know, our brain stops growing at a certain age. That definitely is not true at all, because the brain carries on growing from childhood into adolescence and throughout the lifespan.
Mm.
So just getting, you know, debunking a few of these myths hopefully can just help people to understand this teenage phase a little better.
Okay, I see a message from Hasina Majid on Facebook. She says, teens tick on pushing boundaries. They are young and energetic, but immature and naive at sometimes. This mostly spells disaster for teens who have been raised in environments which fail to empower them on a social and emotional level.
Yes, absolutely. You know, that is true. Their behavior can seem very reckless, you know, at times. And inshallah, next week we're going to get into that, you know, how the brain changes with the dopamine reward drive system.
Mm.
That is where that behavior of theirs stems from.
Right. And then Fatima Sirat saying, if only I knew what made them tick. She's a teacher, so she says, if only I knew what made them tick, it would make my life a lot easier. Now, Samira, it says you want to explain to us what essence is. What does the word essence stand for in this, you know, in terms of teens?
Yes, this is very important, you know, because today we are talking about the essence of adolescence.
Mm.
So, you know, when we break that up, you know, Ijaz, I love my acronym. So when we break up the word essence, you know, if we look at the ES, before I can even go into just telling you what that means is, you know, as adults as well, you know, if we have to bring in these four qualities again into, you know, just implement them again into our daily living, what can happen is that perhaps that we could just recapture some of these vital essences and the gap between the generations would lessen, because there's a huge gap between, you know, adolescents and adults.
Mm.
So if we look at the ES stands for emotional spark. Right? That is basically us honoring these important internal sensations that are more intense during adolescence. But they serve to create meaning and vitality throughout our lives. Now, as an adult, when you've lost this part of, you know, the emotional spark, your life can become very dull and boring. You know, and that's when when teenagers feel that adults are really boring. Right? So maybe try to implement that in some form or some way. And then the SE in the essence stands for social engagement. You know, this is now the important connections we have with others that support our journey through life with meaningful, mutual, rewarding relationships. Then we go into the end, which is novelty seeking. You know, teens are extremely good at this.
Mm.
You know, it's how they seek out and create new experiences that engage them fully. You know, stimulating all of their senses, their emotions, their thinking, and even their physical bodies. Right? And then the CE stands for creative explorations. This is now the conceptual thinking, you know, that abstract reasoning. And it's almost like this expanded consciousness that creates you know, like a window into seeing the world in a very different way. That's now where that pushback against the status quo comes in, you know, when teens are just pushing away from everything that is normal and safe, and they're trying to do something that is completely different. This is now all part of being a teenager. And, you know, we can see, you know, the wisdom in why Allah put us through this phase of life called the adolescent period, because there's so much of development that takes place during this period.
Indeed. Now, what are some of the challenges and benefits of the adolescent period?
Well, this is a good question, Ijaz, because, you know, during childhood, parents are often seen as the be-all and end-all of all role models. You know, your little children look at you as the heroes and heroines of their life, right? But then the moment they reach that, you know, that 13-year period, or sometimes it's before, sometimes it's a little after, they no longer look at you as that. They look at you as a person. You know, you're no longer their hero. You're just a person who have your own flaws and limitations, right? That's basically how they look at you. So naturally pushing away from this is a fundamental and novel way to experience life for teenagers, right? Because the adolescent period is filled with new ideas. In many ways, seeking novelty is rewarding as it fills experiences, you know, their behaviors, perceptions, thoughts, ideas, beliefs, just about everything. And this novelty seeking, you know, power can benefit all if it is harnessed correctly. You know, the one thing that happens is when we see with our teenagers, you know, more often than not, we find that they just push against adults and they go more into their peer group. This again is also a, you know, it's a fundamental stage and phase, because what happens is now it's all people of the same group are now trying to, you know, sort of find their way in the world. So what happens if we look at it, you know, in sort of in years ago, Ijaz, you know, where families all lived together. When this push began against parents, what would happen is teenagers would probably feel close to another family member, right? So there was still that adult companionship and, you know, that adult advice that was coming through. Now, if your parent is your only close adult, then it becomes very difficult for that teenager or that adolescent, because now they don't have any adult where they can actually go to and talk to about things, and that becomes very dangerous, because all your advice now you're gaining from your teenage friends, which more often than not, all of them are going through the same thing like you.
Indeed. So, ma'am, we've got about 30 or so seconds. Do you want to give a nugget, you know, a piece of advice finally for parents, and we'll pick it up next week again, inshallah.
Absolutely, inshallah. You know, the thing is, what I'd like to tell parents is, you know, keep the lines of communication open. Because between a parent and an adolescent, when their communication lines get destroyed or this, you know, for some odd reason, then it becomes very, very difficult to penetrate through your teenagers, because then they become very secretive. So always try to maintain those lines of communication and just keep them open at all times.
Brilliant advice, inshallah. We'll pick it up. There's so much to discuss, Sumaya. We'll be unpacking it for the next few weeks. This discussion on teens, teen world, I'd like to call it. And yeah, jazakallah khair for your time today. And we'll pick it up next week, inshallah.
Jazakallah so much. Yes, we will, inshallah, Ijaz.
Ameen. Have a good day, Sumaya.
I will. You too.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
That was Life Coach Sumaya Kovadia talking to us about a teen world and discussing adolescence. And yes, this very, very tricky maze sort of a world that young people find themselves in, where they're not too sure about themselves or what's happening to them. And indeed, there seems to be always this tension between parents and teenagers. And we'll be hoping, inshallah, in the next few weeks to help alleviate or remove this tension, where there's a better understanding between parents and teenagers. And Sumaya will be helping us every Tuesday for the next few weeks to, you know, understand this topic better, inshallah. So it's time to close up Mind, Body and Chow for today. If there's any question you'd like to ask Ronald, you can do so 488 55 0727861548, or tweet at EJAZ_K. We'll get those questions through to Ronald. Tomorrow we'll be joined by tomorrow's guest is Dr. Zaida Kotu, and we'll be discussing the 32 points on the head. Very, very interesting indeed. Stuff that you don't usually, info you won't just get anywhere. So something that we can look forward to. So keep listening to Radio Islam International from the Mind, Body and Chow team. Myself and Usama Ustazi Basiuni. It is
Hey guys, we're the Jalals. Keep listening to Mind, Body, and Chow with EJazz. No, 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 no.